to Matthew 4. I got to looking at some things that were going on when we read in our lesson today that, let's see if I'll get the right phrase. Let's see, Mark, just a second. The phrase I want. Okay, I'm not finding it, but it talks about, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered the house and didn't want anybody to know it. You think of him going there to rest. So I got to looking before that, and I got interested in, so look at Matthew 4, verse 24 and 25. We see that his fame went throughout all Syria. And so he starts, there's a lot of miracles. People were bringing everybody to him because his fame was spreading. And verse 25, great multitudes follow him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So, we can only guess how many people were being brought to Jesus to be healed. And, of course, that was part of his mission. Look at Mark chapter 3. Elizabeth, would you read verse 7 through 10?
Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. A great number of people heard of all that he was doing and came to him. And he told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crowd him. For he had healed many, with the result that all those who had afflictions pressed around him in order to touch him.
I just find this so interesting. He was worried about that, and so he told them to have a boat ready in case they needed to get away. So we see what's going on with Jesus. And then, because of this, the scribes and the Pharisees step up their opposition, and they're becoming more vocal. And look in Mark 7:1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. So the scribes and the Pharisees leave Jerusalem and they go all the way to Galilee because they want to talk to Jesus. And I tried to see what I could find, how long, if they walked from Jerusalem to Galilee, would be 4 hours. Now, I have no idea, we're not told, if they walked or if they went some other way. But that's a long way to go and talk to Jesus. And, of course, we know from all the New Testament, they didn't just go and talk. They were always trying to get him. And they were jealous of his popularity. So this brings us right before our lesson. So in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, the scriptures before what we're going to study, there's a long discourse with Jesus and the Pharisees. And this passage is talking about, Jesus talks about the defilement that comes from within. I think we're all familiar with that. Jesus is talking to them about character. So it's right after that where Jesus goes to Tyre and Sidon to rest. So let's turn to Matthew 15. Sally, would you read verse 21 through 28?
Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Okay. I wanted to read Matthew, because where he says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't think that's in Mark, if I'm right. So Tyre is about 50 miles from where all the apostles, the disciples grew up. So what is the significance of a Canaanite woman in Matthew's gospel?
She wasn't part of the Jewish household.
Who was Matthew written to?
The Jews.
Tyre was a very different culture dominated by Greek influence, and it was mostly Gentiles living there. Mark 7:26 says, a Gentile woman of Canaan. And so this highlights what Jesus said about her.
What version did you read that from?
Mark 7:26.
Yes.
King James.
New American Standard is a little bit different. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So it gave it a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, on question 2 and 3, you never could have read my mind on this. On 2 and 3, I had an answer that was one word, and the words on 2 and 3, the word is different. What did her request indicate that she believed about Jesus? But what I had was she believed that he could.
Well, my answer was a little bit different.
Good. I want to hear what y'all were thinking.
She came and worshipped him and begged him to help her.
And why did she do that?
Well, she believed who he was, and that her daughter was sick, and she had no other thing to do.
It's interesting when we study a lot of these stories about the Gentiles. They have a way of, they've just heard about Jesus. And what else did anybody have on 2?
I believe that he was the Christ.
Okay.
And she, when she talks to him in verse 22, she addresses him as Lord, son of David.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems that she understood that he was the Christ.
Yes.
And not just a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
It seems from his fame that of performing miracles that she probably heard about and knew that was someone she could go to.
And when we think about what we read at first, how there must have been thousands and thousands and thousands. That's bound to get around, like you're saying. That's going to get to these communities where it's mostly Gentile. It's not all just Jewish.
Well, that's like John 4, when he's talking to the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
She had heard of him, even though she was not one of his group, or not even, she wasn't even a Jew.
Yeah.
But she had heard of him.
And she knew because of what she said we talked about last week. You know, why are you talking to me?
Okay. Because the Jews didn't talk to those people. Mm-hmm. That they were just completely separate.
like we mentioned, they went miles around if they were going through there. They didn't even go near there. Okay, then on question 3, what did her persistence in her request indicate that she believed about Jesus? I said, on number 2, I said she believed that he could. He's the Christ. She called him Son of David. She believed that he was capable of doing this. And on number 3, I put that she believed that he would do it. What did y'all have for number 3?
That she believed he had compassion. Whatever she's heard about him, she knows he's healing people and that he cares about people. And obviously from question 2, she believes he has the power to do it. He can do anything. And so the fact also, well, persistence, that's what you're talking about. I think she thought that if she kept on that he would. Because he was compassionate.
She was determined. She had fortitude. She was not going to give up. She arrived on the door and she did not leave until she saw him.
In verse 28, he says, "Great is your faith."
Mm-hmm.
He knew.
Lauren mentioned this. She believed in his grace and compassion. I read something about people that lived back during this time. If you went to visit somebody and when you arrived on their door, you did not leave until somebody answered that door. I just thought that was interesting. Anything else on number 3? Number 4, Sally just mentioned this. What did Jesus say about her? He said, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." That's in Matthew 15:28. What indicators did y'all list that showed her great faith?
She called him Son of David, for one thing.
And when she learned that he was there, she went there immediately. She didn't wait around.
Mark mentioned that he didn't want anybody to know where he was, so she found him when he was trying to be unobtrusive.
Mm-hmm.
She was that persistent.
And she didn't leave until he answered her. And then, you know, she said, like, she didn't have any other options. You know, she felt that he was the only one that could heal her daughter.
What did Jesus say to her at first when she first asked? Nothing.
Yeah.
It says not a word.
Then he compared her to a little dog.
I don't understand all of that, but the little bit that I understand, let's see, what let me see.
Mark,
what verse is that, Lauren?
27.
What if they had a location for the Gentiles? You know, Jesus was going to teach the Jews first, then the Gentiles.
I think they're the Samaritans. I don't know about other Gentiles. Aren't they called dogs or considered to be like dogs somewhere?
What I understood is the children refers to Israel and the dogs refer to everybody else. To answer your question, yes, they do sometimes call them dogs. And in, I think in Matthew 10, when Jesus is sending them out, is that the right verse? "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So this is that same phrase when, is this where it's called limited commission? And Jesus is sending them out. So.
I also, you see the humbleness of the first spirit. Like, I'm not going to quarrel about, you calling me a dog. Okay, fine. Yes, but, all through that reading, you see her humble spirit. Like, you're the Lord. of the master, and I'm coming to you because I can't go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And what you want, just please help my daughter. You know, just her humble spirit comes through, I think, in the dialogue between
them. I have listed, we talked about her persistence in Mark 7:26. She kept asking him. I don't know if that's in Matthew, but in Mark, she kept asking him. We talked about the fact that she wasn't going to give up. And in verse 29, Jesus said, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has come out of your daughter." So like everyone has said, she was persistent. She kept on until Jesus healed her daughter. This is further confirmation of Jesus' deity and messiahship. And especially when we think of Matthew writing to the Jews, this confirmation. Look at Matthew 4:23. Steve taught a class many, many, many years ago, and I think the class was about the character of people in the kingdom. And the bookends are Matthew 4:23. Would you read that, Lauren?
"And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people."
And so, between Matthew 4 and Matthew 9, there's numerous miracles. But look at Matthew 9:35. Susan Dunbar, would you read that?
"Indeed, about all the cities and villages, teaching the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people."
So it's basically the same thing. So in between these chapters, there's numerous miracles where Jesus is healing. Anything else?
I said something about him comparing her to a little dog in Mark. That's also in Matthew.
Okay. Okay, I want to go over and look at another persistent widow before we finish this. Look at Luke 18. Verse 1-8. First of all, we notice in verse 8 says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So I think that goes good with verse 1. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and to not lose heart. So he's trying to teach them to not be discouraged and not lose heart. And so in verse 2, there's a judge. I'm certain said that there's a judge. And he did not fear God and he did not regard any man. So verse 3, there's a widow, and she asked for justice from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard any man, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." So we see the persistence of this widow. And the judge was saying, she's going to keep coming back. It's the same word, I think, as what we're studying about being persistent. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? So we see another person here that's persistent. I believe persistence is the story of Jesus' parable. God is a counterexample to the judge. The judge the judge did not fear God, and so he's the opposite of God. God does not begrudge us answering prayer. God does not begrudge answering prayer. If an insensitive judge will respond to the continual requests of a widow, God will certainly respond to the continual prayers of believers. In verse 8, Jesus is asking if the believers will still be looking for him when he returns. Okay, back to Matthew. Number 6 is another one of those thought questions. Compare our faith in Jesus as exemplified by our attitude toward him in prayer. How does our faith compare to the faith of the Canaanite woman? Do we have the same amount of persistence when we go to God? Do we ask God for something and maybe we feel like we didn't get it and do we just give up? Do we have faith in his love and compassion as she did? Jesus said in verse 28, "It shall be done for you as you wish." Do we have faith? We already looked in Mark 7:26. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Do we keep asking for what we want? Do we believe if Jesus doesn't look at us like this, but sometimes we might look at ourselves as though we seem as nothing. I think that's a reference to the dogs. Do we always remember that Jesus cares for us? We need to continue asking and going to God in prayer. And do we trust in his power to do whatever he chooses? Do y'all have any comments you wanted to share on number 6?
How do you know when the answer is no? How do you know when to stop being persistent?
I don't think we have to stop being persistent. We don't always know. You know, sometimes it's not no. We think it's no, and sometimes it's not yes. And so, but we don't know that. We don't know what God is thinking or what he's working out for us. Or
can't read his mind.
Mm-hmm.
It might just be he's wanting to see how important it is to us if we don't give up.
He might be testing us.
Sure.
And that goes with what you're saying. He might be testing us to see if we're going to be persistent. He might be trying to teach us something else. What do we learn from Jesus from this passage?
Compassion.
His love and compassion. He cares for us. He cared for her. She wasn't a Jew, and that might have surprised some Jews in that day and time.
It might have surprised him that she was so determined.
I put that something like that down. Persistence had an effect on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like in that other passage you read, you know, he reached a point he didn't want to hear it anymore, so he granted her wish.
And considering his love and compassion, she was not of his race. I wonder what all went into her thinking. She knew she wasn't a Jew, but she knew what Jesus had done.
But she believed in him.
Mm-hmm. She did.
She called him the son of David, and how many even Jews could make that connection?
I just now thought of, I don't remember where it is. I think it's in Luke where it talks about Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He had compassion for all men and women.
I also put that the importance of faith is to him, how her faith affected him. I guess her persistence was an indicator of her faith, and he realized that and knew because of her faith she wasn't going to give up, and I think that had the effect on him that she wished, she desired.
There's nothing in here that says about her faith except at the very end when he says, great is your faith, and be it even unto thee as you will. And her daughter was made whole that very, very hour.
You don't think her faith is what made her be so persistent?
Oh, I think it was, but it doesn't say in there anything about her faith except until it gets to the very end. That's what I was talking about.
Just like our example out in the world, you know, people see our faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, we act and talk and deal with situations, and we don't say, I'm faithful.
You know, that reminds me of, over the years, different people go through different things. Some people go through what I would call very trying circumstances that maybe all of us don't have to go through. And, you know, along with what y'all are saying, the way we handle things, our children, our grandchildren are watching, and this is one way we can teach them a lot about faith. And I think of people, even back when I was growing up, watching them, people that I knew very well. I had what Lauren had too. I had the word value. He puts a lot of value on people that have faith in him. I also had, he cast out the demon while she was not in his presence. We talked last week about Jesus being omniscient. This has to do with knowing. We said, how did Jesus know they were healed? Because he's Jesus, someone said. An omnipresence, that little girl was nowhere near him when he healed her, but she was healed. Distance means nothing when it comes to Jesus and what he can do for us. One thing I put that's very interesting, we don't often think about Jesus needing rest or time away, and so we see in this story where he did need time to get away and spend time with his disciples. Maybe he was going to teach them by themselves. This is also further objective evidence that he is the Messiah, the divine Son of God. Okay. Let's turn to Luke 11.
I think it's interesting, when he healed her daughter, she never thanked him. I mean, there's no indication that she thanked him.
I didn't think about that. Okay, look at verse 5 through 8.
What chapter?
Luke 11. This is another short story that the Holy Spirit gives us on persistence.
5?
Luke 11, verse 5. And I want to notice here, I think persistence here refers more to being bold than it does to tenacity. Andrea, would you read Luke 11, verse 5 through 8?
And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth.
Okay, and the New King James in verse 8 uses persistence. So, this is similar to what we've been talking about. We need to be bold in our prayers. We need to go before God. We need to, all the things we've talked about, we need to believe that He'll answer our prayers. We need to continue with this. The example in the parable is a man who goes boldly to his neighbor to seek what he requires. Likewise, the disciple is to go boldly to God for that which is needed. So, this is another example of being persistent. Anything, that's everything I've got for today. Any other comments on the lesson? It's good to study this. Sometimes we study this and it seems so obvious to us, but don't we forget things from time to time, and we need to be reminded. That's what Peter talked about in 2 Peter. He was reminding us of all the things he was talking about.